So we have these two stories about widows giving their all. And they're kind of exemplary of us and of Christ. In the first place, we come like those widows in poverty, in absolute destitute. Why? Not so much financially like they were, but spiritually. In terms of the big picture of creation and God's salvific history, we're nothing. Everything we have is gift. Our lives are a gift. The creation is a gift. We come into this world with nothing to offer. And even after all these years of collecting and educating and becoming more and more important in the ways of the world, we're still nothing. And so you give that nothing to God, and what you get back in return is way more than you gave. So this widow at Zarephath, she makes a little hearth cake for Elijah, and she gets back eating for a year for herself and her son and for him, because God's generosity never runs out. The jar of oil never runs dry, and the jug of flour never goes empty. Okay, Jesus is kind of prefigured by that woman in giving her two coins in the temple. This happens just before the Passion narrative in Mark's Gospel. Jesus is in Jerusalem on the way to his own death, and she kind of prefigures his offering. She gives the last thing she has. She gives herself. And in a few days, Jesus is going to give himself. And Jesus has taken on our poverty, hasn't he? He's taken on our humanity. He's taken on our nothingness. And not only that, but he takes the last place. He's an itinerant preacher, born in a stable, nowhere to lay his head. He's just a nobody. And he dies by crucifixion, the capital punishment for slaves. No one who was a Roman citizen could be crucified, no matter how bad they were. He takes the last place. He takes our poverty on himself, and then he gives it all. And what does he get back? Resurrection, ascension, sitting at the right hand of the Father forever. I mean, he gets back way more than he gives, just like we do. And so we come here every week with our poverty, with our nothingness, and recognizing that we're nothing, we still lay it on the altar along with Christ. We give it. And what do we get back? We get back Christ. We get back his body and blood. We get back salvation, the offer of the kingdom, eternal life, and sharing in the very glory of Christ in heaven. The exchange that takes place between God and humans are always the big winners. If you are willing to give yourself, if you're willing to lay it down. Now, there's a kind of a tie-in with that second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, and we've been reading from that letter for several weeks now, and that author is making several points about Christ and specifically about offering and priesthood. For the first generation or so, Christians didn't like to use the word priest because they felt that Christ had superseded the Old Testament Levitical priesthood. And so they didn't want to talk about priesthood at all because that reminded them of that older Levitical priesthood, the offerings in the temple. And they didn't build temples, and they weren't into animal sacrifice or any of those kinds of things because they believed, as powerfully as they could, that there was only one sacrifice and it was offered on the cross, and the sacrifice is over. Christ doesn't have to repeat the sacrifice over and over again. He did that once and for all, and so that's the end of priesthood. But then, after a generation or two, they began to realize, but actually that is priesthood in a new way. And so the teaching from then until now of the church has been that there's only one priesthood in Christianity, and that's Christ. However, those who are baptized into him are also baptized into his priesthood. Through the breathing of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he has incorporated us into his salvific ministry, into his priesthood. So everyone who is baptized into Christ is baptized into his priesthood as well. So how does that priesthood function? Well, for Jesus, he sits at the right hand of the Father forever, where he intercedes for us, where he offers himself eternally for our salvation. It's an ongoing reality. And we, who are sharers in that, we intercede as well. We offer ourselves along with him. We give ourselves completely along with him. We get him back. But we also intercede for the world. So there are two places in the Mass where intercession happens, because that's what priests do. They intercede for the rest. And if we're all priests of Jesus Christ, then there has to be some kind of intercession here. So we have the universal prayer, which happens right after the Creed, and that's where we offer various intentions, and we all answer, Lord, hear our prayer. But I want you to be involved and active in that. The reason we pause after each prayer is announced, after each intention, is so that everyone can join themselves in their minds and hearts to that intention. So if, for example, we say, for the sick, there's a few seconds there for you to think about who's sick in your family and your relationships. Maybe it's you. Maybe you just want to pray for all the sick in the world, or for everybody who's in Via Christi Hospital right now. You know, whatever comes to your mind and heart, you add that in, so that we're drawing up all of these intentions as one. But the second place that intercession happens is at the end of the Eucharistic prayer. And there we have various intercessions. We pray for the church, specifically for the Pope and the local bishop. We pray for the salvation of the world. We pray for the living and the dead. We always have prayers for the dead. So these various intercessions are, you know, this is the priestly prayer. The Eucharistic prayer is the priestly prayer of Christ. It's the great prayer of praise and thanksgiving that acknowledges our nothingness and yet gives it all at the same time. It's the prayer that is our offering of ourselves along with the offering of Christ that is remembered here. And it's offering that all up, not only for our own salvation, but for the salvation of the world. For the living, the dead, the church, and all who need our prayers. This is a great privilege to be drawn up into the salvific ministry of Christ as priests. It's also a deep responsibility, and we want to take it as seriously as we can every time we come to Mass. That the more we give, the more we receive, and the more we give of ourselves, the more everyone gets.